Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, a Glee podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Hello, everyone. My name is Ian Allred, and I'm a not-so-mini Gleek.
Hey, my name is Lena Knatzer, and I'm a near 6-foot-tall Gleek. That's not mini at all. What is up, you guys? Welcome to Minisode 4. Oh, my gosh. Minisode 4, right? Is that right?
Probably. Yeah, I think I think you're correct. We should know, but we don't.
Thanks for being here. Really happy to have you again. What am I trying to say here? Thank you so much for anyone who wrote into us via email, who DM'd us this week, who sent us voicemails on Anchor. We are so appreciative of all of them, and I'm gonna beat this horse to death. I am so grateful for all of them, but like last week, we've gotten so many messages that, like, just for the interest of time, not all of them are in here. And we just wanted to reiterate, some of them aren't in here specifically because they talk about things that happen in like season 4. And listen, I love to hear your takes. I will listen to them if you want to send them to us. But we're going to try and keep this, at least for right now, the podcast as spoiler-free as possible. And like, you know, I can't really comment on things from season 4 right now because I haven't seen season 4 in like years. So if you ask me a question about something that happened in season 4, I'm not going to give you like my accurate feelings on it because I haven't watched it as an adult, you know. But thank you for sending your stuff in. We love you. I wish you could see us talk about all of these messages and try to narrow them down because it's agonizing. It truly is.
We were supposed to start recording an hour ago.
Oh my God, I didn't even realize what time it was.
We met an hour prior so that we could like narrow down what we were going to share. And it took us 2 hours to do it because we kept being like, but I really like this one, but the episode's going to be too long.
Yeah.
We love you guys, but speaking of time,
straight up love you so much.
Let's get to it. Let's get to our first message.
Yeah.
So our first message is from Jackie.
Hi, Lena and Ian. My name is Jackie, and my pronouns are they, them, and I'm a Gleek. Hard to admit, but not really. First of all, I just wanted to thank you for helping me see the light about one William Schuster. I was made to think that he was a good teacher and kind of looked over a lot of the shit that he did. But then, like, even my education textbook in college said he was a good teacher, used him as an example.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, now looking back on it, woof. The other thing I want to briefly mention is theatricality and laryngitis, my two favorite episodes, purely because of my adopted father, Bert Hummel. I was a queer kid growing up. and my parents weren't as understanding initially, and it was just very healing to see that on television.
I love that.
Jackie, whoever wrote that textbook should be fined by the government.
Can we put them in jail ourselves? Do we have any lawyers in the audience? How do we sue that textbook? Jackie, thank you so much for your message.
Up next, we have an email. It's from Stella. An email. Well, I'm going to try that one more time. I don't know what happened to my tongue just then. Up next, we have an email from Stella. She asked us third time. Up next, we have an email from Stella. She says, I have a question that I would love for you to answer. In the past few years, has there been a song that came out where you said, thank God Glee is not on the air anymore because you know how bad they would butcher the song? Personally, mine is Shallow from A Star Is Born. I know they would give the Oz to Rachel when Mercedes totally would rock it.
So true. Oh my God. That's an awesome question. And also, I would hate to see Rachel sing that song. I think truly, people make jokes about this on TikTok all the time, but like if Hamilton was around when Glee was on, they would do some sort of Hamilton thing and it would be terrible and I would hate it. So that's my answer. Anything from Hamilton would be absolutely like, I would claw my eyes out. It would be terrible.
There would definitely be a Hamilton week.
Right, there'd be a Hamilton week. And like, I don't know, like Kurt would sing Satisfied or something. And like, it would be so bad. No! Yeah, and like Blaine would sing My Shot. It would be awful. It would be terrible. Oh
my gosh, that would be so terrible.
Wouldn't it?
Mine is another popular pick. Never in my life do I need to see a scene where Will Schuster raps Despacito. And you know.
Oh, yeah.
That since he
is has a Spanish teacher.
Since he is a Spanish teacher, they'd be like, what if he did Despacito? And like, it was like a cool bilingual moment for Will. It would be. The show would immediately be canceled halfway through the episode. They would cut to commercial. And then it would come back and it would be like a rerun of All in the Family. And you'd be like, wait, what happened? Where is Glee? Ooh. It's off the air. And rightfully
like it,
so.
It like God looked at that running on TV and just went, like snatched it. God like, sorry. Smote
that show. A lightning bolt.
He smote
descended from the heavens and struck the Fox Broadcasting Center.
Oh my
and
God.
The entire, there was just freaking salt and pepper static. All across the country, the network no longer exists.
Maybe it's for the best. Well, thank you for your message, Stella.
Thank you, Stella. Up next, we have a message from Matilda. Matilda from Sweden.
Hail you.
International listener.
Matilda, I got to credit where credit is due. You put so much work into this message, girl. She says, hi, I love your podcast. I'm currently rewatching Glee and doing some statistics on it because I'm a huge nerd. I'm sure you can relate. I can relate, Matilda. Anyways, I'm including my findings for the first season in this email. It is not surprising. Thank you for brightening my days with your humor and warmth. Love you, Matilda. P.S. I'm working hard on creating a fan base for you here in... So here's the deal, Matilda. I told myself that I was going to look up how to pronounce the city name properly. I literally listened to him do it.
Oh my God.
And then I forgot. So I'm going to give it my best shot. I'm so sorry. Karlskrona, maybe? If it's wrong, I'm sorry, all of Sweden. But I feel like I get a pass because I'm 1/16 Swedish.
Oh, really?
I'm working hard on creating a fan base for you here in Karlskrona, possibly Sweden. So... the homework that Matilda did, which you are right, I can relate. This is the most on-brand thing ever. It is 100% something we would do. She literally made a graph with every recurring character in season one with how many songs they sing, but not just like how many songs they sing. She has a column for every solo song they have, a column for every duet, a column for every trio they're in, a column for every quartet. And those four columns are considered a big song because they're like featured. Mm-hmm. And then she has other columns for if they have a solo and a group number or they have like an all cap solo in a group number is what she put, which I imagine is like that. Of substance.
Yes.
And then a lowercase solo in a group number, which is like when Mercedes just sings a high note at the end. And then if they're just in the number, but they're not featured. And then if they have a song that gets cut off fast enough that it's not really considered a song. And that's like their lowercase total. And then she has their total overall.
It's so incredible. It's so beautiful. The colors, it's everything. We'll totally share it with you. It's beautiful to behold.
Just so we can get a little bit of disparity. Lena, give me one character and I will tell you how many songs they were featured in comparison to Rachel Berry.
Okay, I want to hear about Tina Cohen-Chang.
So Tina is featured in 42 numbers in the show.
Okay.
And Rachel Berry is featured in 52 numbers of the show.
Okay.
And so listening to that, you'd be like, that makes sense. Rachel is a bigger lead than Tina. It's not a big deal that she has 10 more numbers. But that's the total overall.
Yeah.
If we cut out numbers that Tina is in, but she does not sing or she only sings one line, and we cut that out for Rachel, Rachel is heavily featured in 31 numbers in this season. Tina is heavily featured, which, mind you, heavily featured also means that, like, when she's singing backup vocals in Take a Bow, yes, she's featured in 4.
Oh.
In the entire season.
I hate hearing that.
Yeah. She also ranked, the top 10 of, she did top 10 overall and then top 10 of like big features. I'll just read you the big features. They're very interesting.
Okay.
So of course the most featured is Rachel. She got 31 big solos. Second is Finn. He got 27.
Okay.
Third is Mercedes.
Okay.
17 though. That's like almost half of what Rachel had.
Yes.
Fourth as well.
I thought he would have more. I'm honestly pleased that Mercedes and Finn have more than him.
I think it's specifically because they're in more like trios.
Yeah, and Will's not in the group numbers.
Yeah, exactly. So they just like naturally, like Mercedes is in a lot of numbers where she's not the main soloist, but she's like one of two backup singers, so it counts.
Yeah, totally.
Fifth is Artie. Okay. Sixth is Puck.
Okay.
Which is surprising.
Yeah.
Seventh is Kurt. Okay. Eighth is April, who's only in two episodes, and she yet is eighth overall, but honestly, I'm not mad about it.
Sure.
Ninth is Quinn and Jesse tied at 5. And then 10 is Tina and Santana tied at 4. Which, mind you, Santana did not start singing until the back half of the season, and she's still tied with Tina, who had the entire season.
Yeah, who's one of our like original club members. That sucks.
Tina, they did you so wrong. Tina Cohen-Chang.
Shoot.
Well, we'll share that on the Instagram for all of you. Matilda put in so much work. It's incredible. Thank you, Matilda.
All right. Up next, we have a voicemail from Sarah.
Hi, guys. Sarah here from Dublin in Ireland.
International listener.
I had to stop listening to the last minisode after you got another voicemail from another Irish listener because, Ian, love you to pieces. Usually your accents, maybe it's because I'm Irish and they're all not Irish, are not that bad. But I have to say, your Irish accent, I heard Scottish, I heard Australian and American. I did not hear Irish, but I found it very amusing. My question for you guys is, seeing as every character on the show needs to fit a really big stereotype, what characters or stereotypes or caricatures would you guys be if you were brought into New Directions and you can't be Rachel Berry because there can only be one Rachel Berry? I know you've both said you're Rachel Berries, but what new stereotypical character would you be if you guys were on the show? Okay, bye. Kiss for Lena. Mwah. And a kiss for you, Ian. Okay, thank you.
Sarah, I don't know what podcast you have been listening to. My accents are, on average, even worse really than that bad. One.
I wish, Sarah, you could understand the, like, absolute brain gymnastics I did when I listened to this message at first. Because you were like, who would you be in Glee? And I was like, oh, I'd be Rachel. And then you were like, you can't be Rachel. And I was like, damn it! I was pissed. But I remember watching the Glee Project And that was like a big theme on the Glee project is like Ryan would be like, well, who are you in Glee? Like, what is your thing in Glee? Because Ryan's all about like stereotypes, right? And he would like hound that every episode. And I remember watching and being like, I don't know that I like fit into this. But like, if I was to be on Glee today, like as a 24-year-old actress, God, I don't even know. What do you think? Do you have an answer for this?
Okay. As I've mentioned before, I always have a hard time to be like, and this is definitively who I am, because then I'm like, but then the next day if I'm in a different mood, I'm not like that at all. But looking back at our college theater department and my place in that theater department,
yeah,
I think I would be the like overtly religious member. Does that ring true at all?
I mean, I guess that is what people like remember about you from college, but I also think that you're the heartthrob who everyone's trying to get with. I love teasing you about that, but I get where you're coming from with that.
I was very, I still am, I'm very square. Like, I'm a huge square.
You're a big nerd.
Yeah. Like, it's honestly charming. I'm a huge square.
But yeah, you are a big nerd.
So like, and I know that people are going to be like, but that was Joe's shtick in season 3. I hear you. And let me counter with this. I would actually have a personality.
Yes.
Because, man, that character was the most boring character I've ever seen on television. For sure.
I remember, I mean, we should, like, talk about the Glee project, but I remember him being on the Glee project and them realizing he had, like, religious tattoos. And they were like, okay, we can work with this. And it was so weird.
Well, it's also, like, it bothers me as a religious person that they were like, this character is to show that, like, there are Christians who are open-minded, but also, like, we're going to make him so bland and boring that you won't care anything about it. And I'm like, you already have characters like Mercedes.
Mercedes is Christian, yeah.
Yeah, we know Mercedes is Christian. We know Mercedes is, like, goes to church all the time as, like, a devout follower of her faith. And yet you made her interesting. So why don't, if like you care that much about like having a positive Christian character, then give more emphasis to Mercedes. Don't add some like annoying, boring white guy who is just like, I like Jesus. And there's literally nothing else underneath the surface.
Yeah. Who do you think I would be?
Oh my word. I mean,
I think I'm pretty boring. Sometimes I'm like, do I have a personality?
That's the exact opposite of the truth. The reason I can't decide is because you are two polar opposite stereotypes in one body.
Oh, which is
you are the like the very bubbly and excitable fangirl.
So true.
And then you're also the like tormented emo goth girl. Oh, that's at so the same
true.
That is so true.
Like,
I don't know which one I would pick.
So true. Honestly, the episode, oh my God, the Lady Gaga episode when Tina is like, even though I'm obsessed with death and black, I'm really effervescent. I heard that and I was like, that's me, dude.
Yeah.
So true. So write that into, try and write that, Ryan Murphy.
Yeah. Try and write that duality, the duality of Lena Knatzer.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah. Up next, we have a voicemail from Alexa.
Good morning. My name is Alexa. I'm a Gleek. I'm being quiet right now. Oh, my pronouns are she, her. I'm being quiet right now because it's 7:15 a.m. and I have school in 15 minutes. Here's a hot take. What's my hot take? Oh, my hot take is that as much as I'm absolutely disgusted with the disgusting actor, Puck is a character. I don't hate him. Obviously, he's super problematic, like every other character in Glee, but I don't hate him. I don't know what it is. I haven't rewatched it recently, so maybe I would if I rewatched it. But anyway, bye.
Yeah. Thank you for your message, Alexa. I truly give Puck a really bad rap because I just am so, like, every time I even look at his face, I get viscerally angry. And I think it really clouds my judgment. And maybe I'm not the person to like be on a Glee podcast, but like, I mean, I talk a big game about how much this guy sucks. And I do think he is a manipulator, an abuser. I think he is a sexual assaulter. He really sucks. He is really funny, though. I don't know. I really am at odds with my feelings with Puck all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I had the same experience as you, Alexa, where I was like, dang, but if he doesn't have some banger lines.
He does. We talk about it all the time, but the writers love to write for Puck, and I can tell.
We also got an email about Puck from Envy that we'll throw in here. So Envy says, I have some thoughts and stuff that I just wanted to share with you all. I wish the teen pregnancy plotline was with any other male character with a different actor. I think we forget parental rights matter a lot, and I think it's important Puck should get some say over what happens with the baby. I think we as a society and culture oftentimes get this idea that the mother is the only one who gets any say over what happens with the baby, like a fully born and like planning to give birth baby. And the father has no say. Mm-hmm. And that people think children should be with their mother, overlooking at some cases where the father is the parent that the child should be with in terms of stability and safety. Obviously, that's not the case with Puck, but I just think he has every right to want to, like, name the baby. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think it's completely fair for Quinn to not want to name the baby, but to act like he has no say over anything with the baby kind of makes me sad, because mm-hmm. he should be able to name the baby if he wants to, because it's also his child. I hope that makes sense. And then Envy goes on to clarify that they're like, she should have control, like Quinn should have control over her body, what happens to the baby and all that stuff. But like, Puck is the dad.
Yeah.
It is. It has his genetics in it. He should get some say in what happens to them. Envy, I agree.
Yeah. I talk a big game about how Puck deserves nothing in this, in the dynamic that is Puck and Quinn. And I think your takes are honestly really true, and that's not something that we've talked about, so I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and like you do mention, like, it sucks that it's Puck, because it's so easy to be like, well, Puck sucks, but like we have talked about it in earlier episodes that like Puck does really show Quinn that he is trying to be a good father to this baby, and he like goes and he like tries to earn some money for her and like really tries to be supportive, and so it does kind of make me sad how she just like absolutely negates any opinion that he has over this child that is his.
Yeah.
So I very much appreciate this taking this perspective. Thank you for your email.
Thank you, Envy.
This next email is from Alex. Hi, I'm Alex, and I'm sadly not an international listener. That's okay. We love you anyway.
When did people think that we weren't happy to hear from people from the States? I'm so perplexed.
When I said last episode that we would not instate a U.S. jingle.
There it is.
It's currently 2 a.m., and I was in the middle of listening to the most recent minisode, and I had to pause because I have so many Kurt-related thoughts that I need to get out. I hope this isn't a super hot take, but I genuinely don't think that Kurt was being predatory, and that's because I feel like he acted the same way any 16-year-old with a crush would act. I feel like Kurt had an almost innocent mindset where he didn't realize that he was being too forward with his feelings. However, in the episode Hairography, Kurt does become aware of the situation he's in and is the one to tell Rachel that neither of them have a chance with Finn. Then in the episode Home, Kurt just wanted to spend more time with Finn because he genuinely still had feelings for him, but he knew that the furthest it would ever go was possibly having a friendship, and he wanted to build on that in any way he could, so he introduced Bert to Carol. At this point, Kurt was aware that his feelings would never be returned, and just being close to Finn was good enough for him. But he still held on to some hope that somehow things would change, and you can see that in the episode. Aww. I hope these thoughts made sense, and it doesn't just sound like I'm empathizing with Kurt, even though I literally am. Also, thank you so much for doing this podcast. It gives me an insane boost of serotonin. I hope you both have a lovely day.
I hope you have a lovely day. Thank you. I like this take because I think everything that Kurt does is completely normal. Like, normal for queer kids, normal for kids that are straight, normal for, like, that's normal. Like, having crushes on people you're not supposed to is totally normal. And I like this take that, like, he kind of becomes resolved that as soon as they become, like, a family, that that's not happening anymore. I don't think I thought of it that way, and I like thinking about it that way, I think. What do you think?
My thought process is all of these perspectives and opinions are totally valid and correct. And you can have one person who is like, I do not like Kurt in the first season. I think he's predatory and it creeps me out. Yes. And you can have someone else be like, I like Kurt in the first season. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think it is, like you said, it's very universal to mm-hmm. have inappropriate crushes when you're younger. Like, freaking kids have crushes on their teachers all the time. And like, yeah. obviously that's never going to amount to anything. And I'm the one who talks a big game about this in this podcast. I will say most of it is just because of the jokes I can derive out of it. But my big thing with the plotline is not that I think Kurt did anything out of the ordinary, or that it was like Kurt's a bad person because he has a crush on Finn and he like wants to be close to the person he has a crush on. My thing is mostly, which Alex, I'm not negating your take at all. I think you're completely right. And this is just my opinion. My opinion is just they should have had another gay character on the show.
Yes.
Or they should have waited until later. It's a very common thing.
It's a really cheap like plot device, especially with gay characters.
Well, yeah. And it's a thing that like a lot of homophobic people are afraid of. Yeah. They are afraid of like their gay colleagues secretly like pining after them and trying to turn them.
Yeah.
And so to have like the first gay character's essentially first real plot line
yeah.
be that he is secretly pining after his straight friend, and there are some hints that he's maybe trying to turn him, that's what doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah.
But Alex, I'm not going to say it's not a super hot take, but I don't think it's a bad take at all. I think it's a great one.
No. And you know what? I've got a news flash for everybody listening. This show isn't real. Like, this isn't real life. So we truly can interpret. If it is comforting to you to interpret it one way, that's awesome. If it's comforting for you to interpret another way, that's awesome too. You know, if you see it as toxic, that's how you see it. And if you see it as something that like feels like something that helps you understand something, that's fine. Like this is media. And that's like the cool thing about all of this is you truly can interpret it however you want. And that's the dealio, you know?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for your message. Okay. Up next, we have a voicemail from friend of the podcast, Kaylee Kaletrip. Let's do this thing.
Oh my God. Hi, besties. It is your girl, friend of the podcast, Kaylee Kaletrip. I also sang the French song about the windmill in choir. It was also about a pigeon, something about a pigeon. I don't remember. My choir teacher told us like the translation of it before we sang it. But yeah, it was like, I hear the windmill, tika tika taka. Now that's going to be stuck in my head for a very long time. So thank you for reminding me that that song existed so that I can do it. Also, my group did hand percussion while we sang it. And I don't know if you did that, but I just wanted to bring that up for some reason. So yeah, that's all. Okay, bye now.
Okay, so what Kaylee Kaletrip was talking about is I mentioned this French song that my choir sang about a windmill. And then, surprise, surprise, apparently every high school choir in the entire country has also sung that song.
The weirdest thing on the planet to me, because I didn't do choir. It's not a secret. I don't believe in singing in a group. I'm just kidding. But like, what sort of brotherhood is this where you guys all sang the same song? What is going on?
It's the brotherhood of the windmill. What can I tell you? And Kaylee, you better believe we did hand percussions, and you better believe it was a recipe for disaster. Yeah. It was such a mess.
That sounds scary.
We had to do like, Janta la moula, tiki tiki taka, Janta la moula. And then you had to like stomp on taka. And it was like, so no one had any sense of rhythm. And it was just a mess. It was terrible. It was supposed to sound like rain. It didn't. We also got another voicemail because the reason this ever came up in the first place was that
yes.
Nora from Canada sent in a voicemail and she was like, I speak some French. And she said a French phrase. And then I, as a joke, was like, I speak a little bit of French, too. And I said a line from that song.
And it awoke the whole of America, I swear.
And it was the butchered French phrase heard around the world. Everyone came out of the woodwork to talk about this windmill song. But Nora messaged us and was like,
that wasn't French. Like, that was, you just said syllables. And yes. So I mentioned that last week, and I once again butchered the pronunciation. So Nora, while listening to the minisode, sent in this voicemail.
Thank you, Nora.
Hi, guys. It's Nora, and this has nothing to do with Glee. I just feel a moral obligation to share with Ian the proper pronunciation for the title of a certain French song. And that pronunciation is J'entends le moulin. So do what you will with that information. Have a great day. Goodbye.
Okay, Nora.
Wow, thank you, Nora.
I'm going to need you to grade me on this. I'm gonna give my I'm gonna give it my best go. J'entends le moulin.
Mm.
Was that right?
You know, I took like 4 years of French in high school. I lost all of it, so I'm not an accurate judge.
But in my defense, I learned this song from my choir teacher who didn't speak a lick of French,
mm-hmm.
and she told us to pronounce it le moulin. So,
no way.
Le
Moulin.
Influenced by my superiors. But back to Kaylee Kilchip, there was some line and it was about like, I will eat a 3-pigeon pie. So that's what the pigeon line was, Kaylee. Whew. J'entends le moulin.
Le Moulin.
I still butchered it. Up next, this is a voicemail from Lena.
Hi guys, I'm Lena. I'm from Germany.
International listener!
And I have a lot of thoughts about funk. I love that episode and I agree with everything you've said about it. But what I absolutely cannot comprehend is how a grade A glee club like Vocal Adrenaline is watching New Directions perform Give Up the Funk, which, hot take, is mediocre at best. And they're just like, wow, she's really good. Like, what? I know that it's supposed to show that, like, oh my god, the New Directions have so much heart and passion. But I'm 100% convinced that Vocal Adrenaline could have done it too, easily. Especially my main man Jesse, like, are you kidding me? He would have rocked that shit. Jesus.
Anyway, Jesus.
I love you guys. Thank you so much for making us all relapse and become full-time gleeks again. I'm loving every second of it. Bye.
Hey, Lena. I just want to say I think you're the best name ever. It's really cute. I remember Ian texted me. He was like, did you send in a voicemail? And I was like, no, why would I send in a voicemail? And then I realized it was Lena from Germany. I love this message because I swear all the time, Vocal Adrenaline is so much better than New Directions. I mean, tune into our podcast about Journey to Regionals. We talk about it in depth, but so true. She's really good.
That made me laugh.
Yeah.
So hard.
Bro, you're funny.
Oh, man.
He would have rocked very that. Good. Jesus. You're funny, dude. Thank you for your message, Lena. Best name ever. See you later.
Okay, up next, we got an email from Emma. This email is specifically for Lena. Okay, hi. I'm listening to the Grinch minisode. Lena just told us she made people call her Thornstorm for like a year, and it gave me certain vibes. So I just have to know. Was Lena a Warrior Cats kid when she was younger? Please reply, it's for science. Emma from Georgia.
Emma, I need you to understand something about me really quick. So, short answer, no. Long answer, all of my friends were, and I tried really hard to be a Warrior Cats kid. But honestly, the fact that you think that I give off Warrior Cats kid vibes is the biggest compliment I think I have ever received. Because I think in another world, if I was a better reader as a kid, I could have been a Warrior Cats kid, but I just wasn't. But all my friends were. And you know what? I finally feel like I fit in. So thank you, Emma. I got this message and I laughed my ass off. Thank you. It was so funny.
let's pretend that hypothetically for science, I have literally zero clue what Warrior Cats is. I've never heard of that in my entire life.
Really? You haven't?
No. I Googled it after this message and I saw that it's a book series, but yeah.
Is it a book series about cats that are warriors?
Like how, like, are they anthropomorphic cats or is it like house cats?
No, they're cats
that can talk.
They're house cats that can talk to each other. And they all have names just like Thornstorm. They have names just like that. To be really frank with you, I've never read the books. One time, I've been told before that I give off Warrior Cats kid vibes. And I remember I went to a party once. You can totally cut this out. I went to a party once and someone asked me if I had read Warrior Cats before and I said yes, and then we made out. You're like, are you a Warrior Cats? Did you like Warrior Cats growing up? And I was like, yeah. And then we made out.
Was that the main topic of conversation?
Literally.
Is that the reason they made out with you?
Yes. Well, I met them and they were like, you're so cool. And I was like, thank you so much. And then it got brought up. I don't know how it got brought up. And I was like, yeah, I loved Warrior Cats growing up. I fucking lied to their face.
They're like, so do you have any opinions on house cats that fight crime?
Literally. They were like, did you like Warrior Cats growing up? And I said, yes. And then we made out for like 20 minutes. And it was like at a party and other people and my friends were there.
They don't call me a Thornstorm for nothing, baby.
And I totally lied. I lied right to their face. That's a little bit about Lena at a party. Oh my God.
Wow. Those warrior cats. All right. Up next, we got an email from Madeline. She says, hi, guys. My name is Madeline, she/her, and I have a confession.
This is my confession.
I have never seen a single episode of Glee and only know about the plot and characters through TikTok, YouTube, and your podcast. You may ask why. Well, during the summer when the Glee Renaissance / Mr. Shu hate train was going on, I was really debating on watching the show. Unfortunately, when I went to college in August, a girl who lives near me told me I looked like, quote, the type of girl who's really into Glee. I had no idea how to take that. Was it a compliment or a diss? So I refused to watch the show just out of spite.
Dude.
Okay. Love the podcast, though. It brightens my week. I'm a little disappointed you didn't bring up in your last episode one of Mr. Shu's worst lines in the series, Hump Day. It slipped my mind. Frankly, I think I blocked it out so that I could, like, get over the trauma of it.
Yeah, we've gotten a few messages like that, and I was like, I totally didn't even mention it at all. But, like, I'm, like, in the Apple Teeny, like, gross gummies, I blocked it out. It's not. There was so much nastiness going on in that episode. It was so hard to cover all of it. But thank you for bringing it up. Gross. Nasty.
Anyways, the podcast is amazing. I can't wait for the Bohemian Rhapsody of it all next week, Madeline. Madeline, that has such Aaron Allred energy.
Oh.
My sister, I've talked about this before. My sister, if something is too popular, she refuses to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's like, out of spite, she will not watch it. And then, like, 100%, I believe that if someone was like, you seem like the kind of girl who would really like this popular thing, she would be like, you know what, just because you said that, I literally am never going to learn another thing about that popular thing.
Yeah. hear me out. I read that line. Like, if someone said that to me, as a person who loves Glee and, like keeps it, like, really close to my heart, if someone said that to me, I'd be pissed. For nothing. But I feel like, hear me out. Ian and I look like the kind of girls who would like Glee too. So maybe you
and
look a little bit like
us. We are the kind
of
girls who really like Glee. And yet we would take offense
I'd
to it
pissed.
As well.
Well, because also Glee sucks. So you know what? Don't watch it. Just keep listening
to
us.
Yeah, it's a thing where it's like, unless you also really like Glee, how dare you say that
literally
to me?
Like, if someone who hated Glee said that to me, I'd be like, you and I are not friends anymore. Never speak to me again.
First of all, you are correct. Second of all, how dare you say that to my face?
First of all, how dare you? Yeah, totally.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Okay, up next, we have a voicemail from Dia. I never know how to say her name.
Dia, we love you and we try our best.
I feel bad. I love hearing from you, but just don't know how to say your name.
Many people have corrected us on how to say their names, but everyone has been incredibly nice and seems to think that it's charming.
Oh, really?
So hopefully you continue to think that it's charming, because we really are trying, you guys.
I think you deserve your name to be pronounced correctly, but
here's the deal. I lived in Argentina for 2 years in a country where people did not speak English, especially the part that I was in. Like, no one spoke any English. I have been the person that no one could pronounce my name. It's just like, it's a language barrier thing. Like, I would say it's Allred, and they would be like, I literally cannot comprehend how my mouth could make those sounds.
Yeah,
we are trying.
Did they call you Totorojo?
Sometimes. If I was like friends with them, I'd be like, you can just say todo rojo. Like, don't worry about it. But normally be like, Ared. They'd be like, Ared. And that's what they would
say. That's pretty good. And I mean, I have a last name that people for years have been struggling to say. So I get at least a little bit of that. Just like, people cannot comprehend that the T and the S, man, it really freaks them out.
All right, here we go.
Hi, this is Thea again.
International listener!
Okay, let me start off with Matthew Morrison. He does not look good. In which universe does he look good? You guys said in your last Minnesota that you want one person from each continent to say that he looks good. Well, it's a no from Asia from my side. Secondly, Birth speech in theatricality really, really, really moved me, because there's a slur that people use in my high school which means transgender people, and I never used it, but I was okay with other people using it, and that speech made me realize that it's not okay. And now I always tell people, like, no, you can't say that anymore. So it really moved me. And also, you guys made me realize that Terry is a great character and not a bad character. So thank you so much for that. Okay, those were all my hot takes in just 51 seconds. Okay, bye.
I love her. It's a no from Asia. Dang. We didn't get that one. Next time.
That incredible message.
I love that message.
You made me laugh so hard. Also love the little shout out to, like, a positive takeaway that you had from Glee.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Thank you. Okay. So up next, we have the exciting conclusion of a month-long mystery.
We've been playing the long game with y'all.
We legitimately got a review on Apple Podcasts one time that mentioned this. So weeks ago, we played a voicemail from Joel, and we cut him off because we said there were too many spoilers. We couldn't play the rest of it. And we got a review that was like, I want to know what that guy said. Good news. Joel sent in another voice message.
Here we go!
Hi, girlies. It's Joel here. I left a voicemail a few weeks ago talking about how much I hate Shelby, but it couldn't be played because it was chock full of spoilers, so you didn't play it. But then you both proceeded to talk about how much you hate Shelby. So I do feel quite vindicated, so it's fine. There's no beef there. In the last minisode, someone said something about songs that should have been sung by various characters. And the first thing I thought of was, if Tina, in the infamous Tina adoption storyline that had been abandoned, had sung This Woman's Work by Kate Bush, the way I would have cried my eyes out, would have gone back, cried my eyes out again, if my girl, Tina, Elizabeth, Iman, Chanel, Michaels, Dupree, Cohen Chang, had sung some Kate Bush.
So then the message cuts off because it reached a minute. And they titled the message, you know what? I felt like that cutoff was a sign for me to stop.
Joel, thank you for messaging back. I'm so sorry we had to cut you off last time, but we're trying to keep it as spoiler-free as possible. But I knew you would like our takes on Shelby because we hate her so fucking much. It's madness.
I am not joking when I say every time that I talked about how much I hate Shelby, I thought about you. And I was like, I hope Joelle still listens.
I'm glad he does. I love that.
Also, you guys might be listening and think, Tina adoption storyline, what? I don't remember that. That's because, like Joelle said, it literally is referenced. There are like two lines that is like, Tina was adopted, and then they never deal with it. They had so many directions they could have taken this character, so many potential storylines they could have experienced with her. She auditions with I Kissed a Girl. Maybe she's bisexual. That could have been a storyline.
Yeah.
She like kind of is really struggling to find her identity by like being really goth and then switching to like very like kind of 60s mod and like trying on all these different looks. She was adopted. There could be like some inner turmoil there.
They just
really
didn't know what to do with this girl.
They really just ignore all of it.
Thank you, Joelle, for your message. All right. Up next, we have a voicemail from Courtney.
Hi, guys. My name is Courtney. I love the show. I love listening to the podcast. I listen to it when I bake a lot, so that's fun. So I saw this TikTok.
Yum.
And I looked it up, and it's real. I implore you to go into Twitter, type in from:Ben Shapiro, and then the word Glee, and just read everything, single thing he's written about it. Such as, Kurt is going to lose his gay virginity next week on Glee. Who's excited? Wait, is anyone there? Where did these crickets come from? And Left seems unperturbed by lesbian scissoring on Glee, but seems upset when I joke that they're painting me as the guy who wants to cap Elmo. So there's more. I think it's absolutely hilarious.
We have gotten tagged in that TikTok like 15 times this week.
Yeah.
And you're right. The man tweeted, and some of those tweets are from like late season 3.
Yeah, like he kept watching.
Like, that man talked about Glee so much, like, just kiss already. Like,
literally,
we know you secretly like it. If you,
I know.
If you are this intent on being like, no, you guys, I swear, I do not have a crush on Glee.
Like,
I don't like them. I don't like them at all. So anyways, did you guys notice that Kurt's going to lose his gay virginity on Glee? And it's like, Ben, why do you keep bringing up Glee? Do you like Glee? And he's like, no, you guys, I don't like Glee at all. That's so embarrassing. Why would I talk about how I don't like it if I... Why don't I talk about how I don't like it if I actually liked it? I'm not that kind of person. Like, God, Ben.
Ben, just kiss. That's really funny.
Up next, we have an email from Cameron. First of all, hi. I love your podcast, duh. Was born in Utah, so genuinely, I was so shocked to hear the Mormon of it all and the Utah of it all.
I'm the Utah, you're the Mormon.
It's so fun to hear you guys have similar backgrounds as me. Anyway, Glee. Guys, I mean it when I say, if I were to write an autobiography, there is no way to explain my life without Glee. I started watching right when I started high school, which was in 2012. I had just quit cheer and was starting in a theater program, and oh my gosh, I wanted to be Quinn so fucking bad. There was this guy in the theater program who was like tall and awkward and brunette and could not dance to save his own life. And I was like not attracted to him, but dated him anyway because it was the closest I could get to Cory Monteith. Like I literally convinced myself I was living Finn and Quinn realness.
I love that.
Being that I was a cheerleader too, I have a unique perspective on Glee. One thing that drives me fucking bonkers is when Sue kicks Quinn off the Cheerios and like nobody really talks about it. Discriminating against pregnant students is illegal in public schools, so Sue was not within her rights to do that. But also, what was Quinn's plan? I'm pro-choice, but Quinn is intent on carrying that baby full term. Cheering is literally the most dangerous sport, and I'm pretty sure she never asked or consulted her doctor on how to do it safely. She's a flyer. What was she gonna do? Just do sideline cheers and not compete? Anyways, the whole thing is wild. Okay, that's all my thoughts for now. We'll be emailing again for sure. Literally so obsessed with you guys. Okay, bye, besties.
Bye, bestie.
Cameron.
I love this because I don't know anything about cheerleading. My sisters were cheerleaders growing up, but I was like too like cool for school. And I was like, cheerleaders, bleh. You know, so I love this. And I think that's a really thing to note for sure. And that is like... Sue, that is illegal. Like, she shouldn't be doing that. And also, Quinn, what's going on, bro? So thank you for your message. I really liked that. And also, hey, Utah listener.
Hey.
Hey, can you hear me? Hey. Is that in Utah? Up next, we have a voicemail from Reese.
Hi, Lena. Hi, Ian. I'm Reese, and my pronouns are she, they. What was the first musical you guys ever saw? Ian's gonna flip his lid when I tell you my answer. The first musical I ever saw was Seussical. I was like 4, and my dad took me to a high school to see Seussical. It was me and my whole family, and my brother hates musicals, so he was not very happy. The first musical I was in was also Seussical, so I'm very sorry, Ian, that you were never in a production of Seussical. That really sucks, because it's such a great show. Okay, goodbye.
Listen, Reese, you should totes be in one.
Seussical has been taunting me for 13 years. It was not my first musical, but I did see the first national tour of Seussical when I was like, I probably would have been like 7 when that was happening. And I like have vivid memories of it because I was so like, what is this show? And it is disgusting to me. It is offensive. I feel like it's a bit of a personal attack that no theater in my area of all the places I've lived has ever been doing Seussical while I was also living there. Frankly, I think that the universe is purposely bullying me with that. Honestly, and I don't appreciate it.
I think that's true. Literally, if you guys ever meet Ian in person, which I hope you do, he's really cool. He exudes such Seussical energy. It's madness. So the fact that you haven't been in it is so sad because it's so fun. I love that show.
Lena, what was your first musical you ever saw?
So I think maybe this might not be the first one, but it's the first like really impactful one I ever saw. Like the one that like when I think about like the first musical I ever saw, this is like very clearly the first one in my mind, but I could be wrong. But I remember when I was like in like second grade or something, I went to see Les Mis at one of the local high schools, and it changed my molecular structure, I swear to God. Like, I became a different person that day. I remember, like, being, like, 8 years old, seeing it and being like, this is the most impactful moment of my entire life thus far. I'm a different person. It was so good. It was, like, you know, it was a high school production of Les Mis, so how good could it have been? But it was amazing, and I loved it, and it was so good, and I think about it every once in a while. I remember, like, Javert jumping off the bridge, but instead of him jumping, he, like, jumped off the bridge, and then they took the bridge up, so he just went, ah! It was so fun, but I thought it was so beautiful. Ian, what was yours?
My first, I'm fairly certain this was my first one. It's for sure the first one I remember. I saw, judging by the timeline, it probably was the second national tour of Beauty and the Beast.
Oh.
And I would have been 4.
Very good.
And
4?
It,
that's
like,
young.
I don't know what to tell you. My parents are big theater people.
Go parents. Go all reds.
And like, it changed my life. Yeah. Like, I have, Beauty and the Beast has such a special place in my heart, the stage musical specifically. And a lot of people have like very, very founded criticisms of the script, and yet I can see absolutely no faults with that show, because like it is what first introduced me to theater. We bought the cast album in the lobby, and my sister and I listened to that thing every single day. It was amazing.
I love that.
I loved it.
I want to be in that show so bad I could cry. I've auditioned for it a lot, like in a bunch of like different theaters, but I've never gotten in. But I'm holding out that someday someone will cast me in it.
Is that your Seussical? It's your white whale?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, I want to play Belle in Beauty and the Beast so bad. And I know someday someone will look at me and see a Belle, but I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting. I think it's because I'm blonde. Just kidding. All right. Up next, we have a voicemail from Naomi.
Hi guys, I'm Naomi from the UK, she, her pronouns.
International listener!
I love you guys so much. I was actually kind of nervous before recording this because I stalked you guys' YouTubes and I watched like all the videos, and you guys are actually so talented. It's crazy. And I was like, oh my God, what if I'm like talking to future Broadway stars or something? So then I was like, I kind of have to record it so that I can like have this to show my friends. Not that they care about Glee, but Broadway, you know? Anyway, my thought was that
Broadway, you know?
I obviously had the privilege to be able to go to the theatre as a child. And experience culture, art museums, that kind of thing. Lots of people didn't have that privilege. And I think Glee really brought show choir and theatre into the lives of just ordinary people, and I think that's so great. Anyway, I love you guys so much. You guys are my best friends. Bye-bye.
Oh my gosh.
Naomi, I love this message.
Yeah.
Especially immediately after what we just talked about, because Lena and I were just like, oh, and when I was like very little, I went and saw live theater and it changed my life. Yeah. And it is a reality. Like most people, that's not like I had a very privileged childhood. That's not the reality for most people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is true that Glee was probably for many people the first time they had access to musical theater.
Yeah.
And, you know, it sure was a weird version of musical theater, but it is very cool. But that,
it
is, like,
it's definitely close. Like, I remember, like, yeah, like hearing, like, Rachel singing On My Own and, like, Maybe This Time, like, that, you know, it was impactful to you and I who had experienced theater, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, and that's why I'm also, like, kind of hesitant to ever, like, it on, like live musical TV special things, because it brings theater into the home. And for so mm-hmm. many people who don't get to experience theater and don't have the, you know, access to like theater, it's awesome and it's beautiful and we should yeah. celebrate that. And Glee is just like that, you know?
And frankly, theater is like so elitist. It's disgusting.
Oh, I know.
So any way to kind of like lower the elitism is great.
Yeah. I have a story. So I was dating this guy. Ian knows this story. I was dating this guy and we were talking about like our beginnings in theater. And like I mentioned that like Les Mis was probably the first live theater experience I had. But truly what like got me into theater, I cannot lie to you guys, was High School Musical.
Heck yeah.
And I remember talking about this with my boyfriend at the time. And if he's listening, I'm so sorry, dude. But I don't think he is. But I remember saying that and him being like, oh, really? Like my first theater production was like a 100-piece ensemble production of Sweeney Todd with like the XYZ orchestra and blah, 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 blah. And it was like a big like gala event. That was like his first experience with theater, which is so awesome. And like, that's something to celebrate for sure. But he was like, I guess you and I just come from different backgrounds. And I remember I cried at him and I was like, that was so rude. Like, I'm sorry that like, mm-hmm. I didn't have the access to that kind of stuff when I was a kid. Like, and you and I are in the same place now. So what makes you better than me? I don't know. It was really, I remember telling Ian that like a few weeks after it had happened and he was like, what a fucked up thing to say to someone. And you know what? If Glee is the thing that gets you into theater, that's okay too. Like not like no one should be like flexing on each other about that kind of stuff.
That's awesome. If Glee was got you into theater.
Yeah, that's amazing for sure. Oh my gosh. Cause like I said, High School Musical was the thing that like made me want to audition for My School Musicals, and come on.
Also, Naomi, I got a notification on my phone that was like, Naomi left you a voicemail. And like 1 hour earlier, I'd gotten a notification that was like, Naomi commented on your YouTube video.
I love that. Did you? That was so exciting to hear. She also, it doesn't say in the message, but she says the title of her message was, We Look Like Emmett and Elle. We look like Emmett and Elle. And we assume that's from Legally Blonde. And Naomi, when I tell you I've been saying this for years, I have been saying this for years that Ian and I should be Emmett and Elle and Legally Blonde. I tried to get him. Do you remember I tried to get you to not graduate so you could come audition for Legally Blonde?
I do remember.
That's so fucked up of me. I'm so sorry. But in my mind, I said, was like, this is, you were like, screw you, Lena. No way. And you're so much more analytical than me. I remember like literally looking at you and being like, you need to do this for me. And you were like, no, Lena, shut up. Up next, we have an email from Adele.
Adele says, hi, Ian and Lena. My name is Adele, and I'm from Kazakhstan, Almaty. So yay, a listener from Central Asia.
International listener!
Please ignore my mistakes. I don't use English very often. I love to listen about your high school experience. It's very unusual to me because we have absolutely different school systems in my country. But we all grew up on American movies, and it was every teenager's dream to be a part of this culture.
And that's really similar to a voicemail we had. So we're going to play that one right now. This voicemail is from Joe.
So put a pin in Adele.
Yes, here's Joe. We will come back to you.
Hi, guys. My name's Joe. I really enjoy listening to your podcast. I'm from the UK.
International listener!
Something that I'd like really enjoy hearing you guys talk about is how the like high school sort of world is in America and how the high school from Glee compares to you guys' schools. Like, some things just seem so alien to me going to school in the UK, like how big clubs are, like how everyone's part of a club. I feel like I never went to any club at school, and so didn't like barely any of my friends. And also how big like the between school competitions are. There was nothing like that in my school. And something, I've just watched the sectionals episode again, and the size of the trophy that they win for like a really small competition is incredible. I swear, like any competition like that, you'd get a little cup that you had to even give back next year. So I'd really love to hear.
And then it got cut off.
I love that message because I think, you know, and there are a lot of things in Glee that are like not accurate to American high schools. Like, I've seen those trophies in real life, but you would never get it for like a singing competition. You get it for like a cheerleading competition for sure, or a dance one, or even like the football competitions. That's probably not the word. I don't know anything about
like a
about
tournament.
I don't
like
know
a championship.
Listen, I don't
a
know
football championship.
Maybe I don't know anything about sports, and I think that's kind of fun about me that I just refuse to learn. But so that's not entirely accurate, but it is. I love hearing from people who are international listeners, and they're like, "Yeah, I don't understand anything about American high schools," but yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because what you see on TV, it's like, as an American who knows no different, like I've never been to a school in another country, yeah. I never know what parts are weird to you, because they might also be weird to me, because my choir won many competitions and we got at most a plaque.
Yeah, plaque,
and usually
for
something
sure.
smaller than that. And also, like,
oh, we got medals a lot. I remember in theater competition, like tiny medals that you would like get your own ribbon for if you wanted, or you could like pin it on something. I don't know.
And I've seen comments on stuff that like people think that in the U.S. it's normal for like cheerleaders to wear their uniforms all the time because of Glee. Like, no, it's not.
No. And like I remember like in real high school they would wear their uniforms on like game days, but they would never like on a random Tuesday.
And I remember, like, my freshman year of college, I had a roommate, like, the one I shared the room with was a foreign exchange student from Korea, and he learned English by watching How I Met Your Mother. He spoke English, like, perfectly.
I love that.
But I remember when St. Patrick's Day came around, he was like, so are there, like, any big plans for St. Patrick's Day? And I was like, no. And he was like, well, I don't you Americans, like, go all out on St. Patrick's Day? And I was like, no, like maybe you wear green and that's it.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, on How I Met Your Mother, like there's always a big St. Patrick's Day episode. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. One, they are in New York and it is
so
a bigger deal.
They could be partying. Yeah.
Yeah. But also, too, like, the writers just wanted to do a St. Patrick's Day episode. Like,
yeah,
I don't
totally.
Know anyone who goes hard for St. Patrick's Day.
TV's weird. Well, back to Adele's email.
Glee has made a big impact on my personality. I started to watch it when I was 14 years old, a shy kid with very low self-esteem. You know that thing when you're looking for a character that you can associate yourself with? Usually I pick the only Asian character that they have on the show, but then I saw the Born This Way episode, and let me tell you, that was a huge inspiration. As a girl with a big hooked nose, I felt so seen, and Rachel became my Barbara. Aww. I love that girl. It's so hard not to love her. She's so relatable, even though I don't have any talent or ambitions. The way she sees herself as a movie character or something like that, how dramatic she is in a good, innocent way. God, I love her so much.
Yeah.
And when you said that you're Rachel Berry stans, you got me there. Before your podcast, I had no idea that Glee was satiric. For thank you for showing me Sue, Terry, Jesse, and other villains of the show. I am now rewatching the show and rediscovering it as a pretty good comedy that will always take a place in my heart. Like we said, if you are completely unfamiliar with the U.S. school system, you have absolutely no barometer for what parts of the show are, like, normal yeah. and what parts are like, this is ridiculous, it never happens.
Honestly.
So you see like the entirety of Vocal Adrenaline show up in their auditorium, do a whole choreographed number to break up with Rachel, and you're like, I don't know, I guess
like, Americans
really love show choir. In conclusion, thank you, thank you, thank you. You did this amazing job for all of us Gleeks with lots of complicated feelings. I really do feel like you care about your listeners. Sometimes I even pause the podcast just to put comments in as if we were in the same room talking to each other.
I love that.
That is the cutest thing I've ever read.
I love that.
Thank you for brightening my day during the lockdown when I'm not able to fly home and see my family or friends. I love you so much and I'm looking forward for your season 2 discussion. This email is pretty long, but I couldn't help myself from writing it. Okay, gotta finish listening to your minisode. Love you, Adele.
I love you. Thank you so much for that message. I love that.
We made that the last episode of the minisode because it's the sweetest thing I've ever heard.
It's
so kind.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Adele. We did get a lot of, we got a ton of voicemails and emails from everybody, and you all are so complimentary of us, like, frankly, way more than we deserve. You're, like,
honestly,
so kind to us.
We're weirdos.
And you talk about how, like, this podcast is really helping you get through, like, the stress that's going on right now and, like, your loneliness, and that means so much to us, and, like, the same is true about us.
Absolutely. Like, and I don't know how to express to you all that it truly is, like, hearing from you guys and listening to your voicemails and reading your emails, like, even if they're not, like, on the podcast, they truly do. They make me feel less lonely in my, like, quarantine. They make me feel more, less stressed about what's happening in the world right now. And I truly love hearing from you guys. I love that you like the podcast. It just means so much to me that you're here. Oh. Well, heck, that was our minisode 4, yo.
There it is.
There it is.
Love you guys. Thank you.
Yeah.
If you want to send us your thoughts on Glee, your thoughts on season 1 as a whole, now that we're about to wrap it up, or on Journey to Regional specifically, you can send us a voicemail on anchor.fm. Mm-hmm. Just look up our podcast. You can send us an email, recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
Yeah. Well,
see you in 2 days when we recap the season finale.
Love you guys. Catch you later.
Bye.
Toodles.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.